Okay, thank you. It's great to be here. I've been enjoying the last month or so here and enjoying the conference very much. I'm going to be talking about an order one perturbation of supersymmetry. It's called induced electroweak symmetry breaking. It's based on some work from 2011 with Azatov Galloway and a paper that just came out with Galloway, Yushin Tsai, and Yu Zhao. So, the big news, of course, is that there's a 125 GeV particle that looks very much like the standard model Higgs. Is this a good thing for supersymmetry? Well, as we've heard, yes and no. Yes, in the sense that generically, a light Higgs is a prediction of supersymmetry, but maybe a little bit lighter would have been better. So a lot of work has been focusing, motivated by this naturalness problem that we have if we just use loop corrections, as in the MSSM, to raise the Higgs mass. There's been a lot of work done on trying to see if there are more natural extensions of the MSSM that can give you a larger Higgs mass. And these have all focused on increasing the quartic, right? The MSSM increases the quartic through loops. And then there are various things like the NMSSM that give you tree-level contributions to the quartic, non-decoupling D-terms, contributions to the quartic, fat Higgs, contributions to the quartic. All of these things, I think, I don't want to try to summarize them or disparage them too much, but I think it's fair to say that with all of them, there's some tension with unification in one way or another, and a lot of times they're natural only for some special choice of parameters, okay? And so you sort of have to wonder about how natural that is. So in any case, I'm just going to take this situation as a motivation to ask, are there any actually robust natural solutions? And the sort of framework that I'm going to be talking about can be illustrated schematically like this. So I'm going to assume that there's some source of Susy breaking that I'll be basically agnostic about. And there's the MSSM with the ordinary Higgs doublets. But the new ingredient will be some additional Higgs doublets. Sigma will be some doublets and phi are some singlets generically. And so there's these auxiliary guys right here. And what makes them auxiliary is that they're going to have a large quartic but no Yukawa couplings. Okay, that's what makes these guys special. Okay? And then these Higgses couple to the ordinary Higgses of the MSSM, which do have, of course, Yukawa couplings, by some cubic interactions like this. That's the general setup that I'm going to be looking at. And just to be clear, there will be a VEV in this sector. These sigma, these extra doublets will have a VEV. And so there'll be the sum of the squares of all the VEVs has to come out to be 246 GeV squared. And if you, just to preview the sort of numbers that I'm going to be interested in, so you should, if you want to think about what's going on, is you might say something like F is 150 GeV would be a good value, as we'll see. And so just to normalize your thinking, that means that the rest of the VEV is not really reduced that much because it's the sum of the squares that matters, right? And that's relevant because this has got to be the thing that gives us the top mass, right? Because these other guys, this guy, the Higgs that have this VEV don't have Yukawa couplings, okay? So that's the sort of setup. Down. Okay. Okay. So the first instance of this is something which I call barefaced and not laughing superconformal technicolor. Did everybody see that technicolor? Nobody's laughing. So we all know what we think of technicolor, right? If there's one thing that's definitely dead after the LHC Higgs discovery, it is technicolor, right? And this is a famous slide from Nimar Khani-Hamid, and notice it was dead already in 2011. We didn't even have to wait till July 4th of last year, and we have the triumph of weak coupling. Technicolor is dead. So what can you say to this? Well, what I have to say is that it's back, okay? Whether you may not be happy about it, but it is back, okay? And I am not here to apologize for it. I'm going to tell you about this, okay? And I should say that I know that you're not going to believe me in the next few slides, so just so you don't walk out now, I'm going to tell you that this is the old work, and I'm going to talk about a perturbative model later. So even if you don't believe anything I say now, you don't get to walk out, Okay? All right, but I really mean it. Okay, so what is the idea here? The basic idea is, and of course we have very specific models, but the basic idea is that, remember, we have SUSY braking communicated to both of these sectors, the auxiliary Higgs sector, as well as the MSSM. In these models, the auxiliary Higgs sector is some strong superconformal theory. We certainly know examples of this kind, plenty of examples of this kind after the work of Seiberg. And what happens is that SUSY is broken at a TEV in this sector. So what that generically does, if you think of some strongly coupled SUSY QCD, it gives all the squarks a mass. You integrate those out. You have a strongly coupled theory of some quarks. What does that do? It confines and breaks electroweak symmetry, a la Technicolor. So the fact that you have Technicolor at the same scale as SUSY breaking is automatic in these theories. Okay. So this auxiliary Higgs sector is now strongly coupled. And remember, since it doesn't have to have Yukawa couplings, this is perfect, right? I don't need to have ETC and all the things that truly suck about Technicolor theories. OK, so you can think of the auxiliary Higgses as being techni-rows, and their masses are set by something like 4 pi f, where f is the scale. F is somewhat lower than the usual scale, but still, this is order TeVs. This is a heavy scale. This is not something that's sitting right down where we can easily probe it. And as I said, we don't need any ETC, OK? So now, the other bugbear of Technicolor theories was always precision electroweak. So flavor is not a problem. I don't even have to talk about it. Precision electroweak. So the precision electroweak is an issue, okay? In particular, the S parameter, you might think, oh, I get to reduce the S parameter because F is small, but that is not true. Because when I integrate out things at the 1 TeV scale, S is a dimensionless quantity that doesn't scale with F. Okay, so naively, you would get a full-strength Technicolor S parameter. And you were told on your grandmother's knee that this was ruled out back in the hoary days of LEP. Okay, so, but here's a plot that shows that, so, but actually, S is actually reduced because there's actually two contributions to S in the Technicolor theories. One is from the Techni rho, and the other is from the Techni pions. The Techni pions, in this case, are massive, because remember, electroweak symmetry is broken, has two sources, and the main source is actually not this F. So that is pretty much absent, okay? And so here's a plot that shows what you get, and so I did the most honest thing you could possibly do. I assumed the Peskin and Takeuchi value for the S parameter given by this rho, and then you sit here, okay? This is the blue one. You can don't have to pay attention to these other lines because this is the one that's 120 GeV mass, right? These other ones were heavier masses that weren't excluded at that time. And so you can see that you can get into the 90, this is 90 and 95% ellipse, or no, 1 sigma, 2 sigma, sorry, 1 sigma, 2 sigma. You can get easily back into the... Yeah, so this one here is back from 2011, and I believe this was like the LEP working group. So I just saw another slide. The current ones, I think, go out to 0.3. Okay, well, this thing here is at about 0.2, right, when it's inside the ellipse. I don't know. So, and look, and this thing, this number, look here, and this QCD number is not a religion, right? This is the value in QCD. This thing has a huge uncertainty. Yeah, yeah, I know. So experimentally, I don't know. I mean, this is what we used back in 2011. I think it was a reasonable, it was one of the working groups. I'd have to look at which one it was, okay? You can criticize more than one thing. But as long as I'm given more time by my chairman.
Why are you calling Technicolor if you can't align X?
That's a good criticism. Any other criticisms? But it is what it is, right? It has a Techni rho. It has a lot of the experimental signals of Technicolor. Okay, so anyway, and so this was, again, as I said, back in 2011, before we knew what the Higgs mass was. So this theory below this 4 pi f scale has got three additional pseudoscalars coming from the would-be pseudoscalars from this sector. So you get an MSSM Higgs sector extended by these three states. These couplings right here are the lambda up and lambda down, which couple this new sector to this thing. And I should have said up here that this T parameter is not made up. This T parameter is what we get by having different values for lambda up and lambda down, and the magnitude that you need is the right amount that you need for the electroweak symmetry breaking to work. I think that's one we used. Okay, so I mean, I'm not an expert on the G-fitter versus, okay. Okay, so anyway, I mean, look, the thing is, yeah, thank you. Okay, so then I think that's probably what we used. It's referred to in our paper, and I just forgot.
So what is lambda U and lambda D?
So lambda U and lambda D, I'm sorry I didn't have it written down here, but we had these couplings that were between the Higgs and a fermion bilinear in the Techne sector. Those are the couplings that connect the auxiliary Higgses. And so there's one for the up type and one for the down type, okay? So these guys being different gives you a custodial symmetry violation. It gives you the positive contribution to T, okay, and okay. So I just wanted to say this theory is serious, okay. It's not a joke, all right. But you don't believe me, okay. You don't. No matter what I say, you're not going to take it seriously. So yes. What? No. So in these models, what you typically prefer is something like F, like we show here, about 100 GeV. So V, V up squared plus V down squared square root is something like 230 rather than 246. So it's not changed very much at all. That's not a problem. It will be a problem, however, for these perturbative models, which you will like much more. Yes? So the reason for that is that there should be some reason why is the Technicolor scale at a TeV? Why do I have Suzy breaking and Technicolor at the same scale, other than I get to write a paper about it? Well, the idea is that you have this auxiliary Higgs sector is strongly coupled but conformal. So it's strongly coupled at all scales. And so finally, what causes it to confine is a relevant perturbation coming from Suzy breaking. The Suzy breaking masses cause you to integrate out the squarks, and then you have a confining QC non-supersymmetric gauge theory. And since it's already strong, this happens right at the same scale. Okay, that's the idea. Okay, so there was some reason for it, other than trying to sink the careers of the postdocs who worked on it. Okay. No. Not at all, actually. Okay, so now I want to talk about a perturbative model, okay, of all of this. And that will also tell you more exactly what the dynamics of this is. This is actually the main subject of the talk, and this is the new paper that just came out. So I'm going to describe what's going on. I'm going to talk about the following two Higgs doublet models. So this is kindergarten physics for all of us, right? This is a very special model. Many things are set to zero. It's not essential that they're exactly zero, but these are just the couplings that are most important, okay? So this, I have a general mass matrix for my two Higgses. Sigma, you're supposed to think of as the auxiliary Higgs. H, you're supposed to think of as the guy that has Yukawa couplings. And I have a general quadratic term, but I only have a quartic for the auxiliary Higgs, because that's going to be the big quartic, okay? So now, what does this theory do? Well, both of these things get VEVs, and now I'm going to fix the lightest CP even mass eigenvalue to 105 GeV, 125, and of course, I fix the total VEV. And then I have a two-dimensional parameter space, F and lambda. And what does that look like? You can plot it. That's why I like this model. It's a 2D parameter space. And what you see is that there's, for a given F, there's a lower limit on lambda below which you don't get a stable solution. Okay? And then you can go up as high as you want. Here is a rough idea. This gray area is a rough idea of what the Higgs coupling measurements constrain you. If I took this to be my real world model, the Higgs coupling measurements, the fact that the lightest Higgs looks a lot like a standard model Higgs, rules out this gray area. Okay? So I've got to explain to you what is going on in this limit and this limit. Okay? So I'm going to explain that to you. All right. So the decoupling, the limit of the small lambda is actually the decoupling limit. Okay. So that's relatively easy to understand. You have the same angle. I call it gamma because the beta, there's also going to be a beta from the usual MSSM. It's the ratio of the VEVs. And so what's happening in that limit is that one of the Higgs mass eigenvalues is going to zero, and that's going to infinity, and that mass eigenvalue has no VEV. Okay? And so if you integrate that out, what's happening in that limit is that you induce a quartic coupling, right? So the mass eigenstate is a mixture of these two states, and you induce a quartic coupling for the light guy. Okay? So that's a fairly standard, and that's the boring limit of this theory. OK? Okay? There's a more interesting limit, okay, of this theory. What happens if I fix f and now I make lambda bigger and bigger? It turns out that what happens is that the mass of this sigma guy, this best mass entry, first of all goes from being positive and large to zero, and then it starts going negative. And in this limit, what you can do is this mixing term, this mass mixing term, B mu type term, you can is roughly constant at that limit. So what's happening in this limit, if you increase this coupling more and more, is that these two sectors are becoming decoupled. You have a sector where you just have sigma is breaking electroweak symmetry, and then there's this small coupling kappa that mixes it with the other Higgs, the light Higgs. And so in that limit, what's happening is that treating this tadpole as a perturbation, it just gives you a tadpole for the light mass eigenstate. Okay, that's what's happening in this limit. And in this limit, you can see I don't care about the quartic. What I'm interested in is having a positive mass squared for this guy plus a tadpole. And the size of the tadpole determines this VEV right here. Okay, so in this limit, the light mass eigenstate is dominantly the H. Okay? And you can work out what kind of a perturbative expansion this is, and you're expanding in some parameter like this, okay? So if so you can see that, well, this can very easily be small, okay? So so as you go range over this parameter space, the smallest value of the auxiliary Higgs coupling that you have corresponds to a decoupling type limit, but as you go larger, you go further into this regime right here. And something that's very interesting about this regime right here is notice I don't care what the quartic is here. It really doesn't matter, of course, and my final results will include everything. And so the Higgs quartic, and therefore the cubic interaction, can be small, the cubic of this light mass eigenstate. It can be very small. It doesn't have to be, it's not a precision correction thing. It could just be, you know, zero. Okay, so that's the basic idea, and the question is, can we get this structure in some supersymmetric models, right? And it's actually very easy to do this. You just have a couple of extra, these sigmas are now an extra pair of electroweak doublets, you have some electroweak singlets, and these guys are just charged into a new gauge group, which at the end of the day will just be SU2, if you want to know, okay? But I'm just going to describe it generally. And then immediately, these guys have a quartic, which is given by GS squared, this new gauge coupling, which can easily be larger than the standard model coupling. So it's very easy to make this guy have a big gauge coupling, okay? And so the way that these models generally look is that these singlets, electroweak singlets, get a VEV U, which is going to be larger than this VEV F. And so at that scale, GS just gets broken completely, and we just have the electroweak. This is terrible. Okay, we just have the electroweak group, and then at the scale GSF, right, this is broken. Remember, oh, that looks better. Thank you. Remember that F is smaller than V, so you might be surprised at seeing this scale first, but remember GS is bigger. And this is the ordering that we want because this is roughly the scale of the physical auxiliary Higgs masses. So we want F to be smaller, but we want GS to be even bigger so that we have this sort of an ordering here. Okay? And then, of course, we have our 100. So then electromagnetism is already broken at this scale before we get to this mass scale. Okay, that's the general structure that we have. Now, I want to tell you about how does this do with unification and precision electroweak. How does this model do there? First of all, I just want to say, put a shout out to the non-decoupling D-term people because this model is very similar in many respects to those models, the non-decoupling D-term models. It's somewhat simpler because they tried to embed the Higgs into these extra guys with extra gauge couplings. The new gauge couplings, and so it's more complicated, and unification was a lot more complicated. Both of those things are a lot simpler here, so let me just go through this. So all we need for unification is just we need these guys to be in complete SU5 multiplets. It's much easier than in the non-decoupling D-term things where we're embedding an incomplete SU5 multiplet, namely H up and H down, into a new gauge group, okay? Yeah. It's an SU2S, a new SU2S gauge group.
That's not belong to
SU5,
right?
Has nothing to do with SU5, but I care about the unification of the couplings that we've observed. Just the SU2 weak, U1 hypercharge, and SU3 color. I don't care whether SU2S unifies with anything or not. Yeah, I don't care.
But one day we will observe it and we'll care.
Maybe. I'll be happy with observing it. Actually, the auxiliary Higgses will be could be found. The actual the GS sector will be very hard to find because it really doesn't couple. You know, first of all, these guys. I mean, okay, it will be hard to find. Maybe there are some. Okay. Sigma is an electroweak doublet. And phi is a singlet, so there will also have to be some triplets. So there will be triplets. So there would be a possibility if these triplets, if you made them, but generically, if you made them, then you'll see from the numbers later that the scale of these GS gauge bosons is multi-TeV, and they're electroweak singlets. So good luck. All right? So, but I mean, these sigmas and the triplets, yes, you could definitely look for those, definitely, okay? Okay, and so in precision electroweak, there is an additional issue here, which is the fact that, and it's actually related to unification, because I've chosen this thing to be complete SU5 multiplets, the sigma VEVs will actually mix the strong gauge coupling with the with the electroweak gauge couplings, okay, and give me a tree level contribution to the T parameter. Okay, because these S5 plus 5 bar or just a pair of doublets, this kind of mass does not give you this violates custodial symmetry. So as a result, this scale U, remember that was the scale where I broke GS, that is going to have to be roughly like 2 TeV, okay, to satisfy the T parameter constraints. But that's actually good. That also protects unification because now that's the scale where I've broken GS down to nothing. So it also, this U over F, F over U suppresses the mixing that would otherwise ruin the prediction for the unified couplings. So these are related things. That was the Technicolor model. Okay, here the corresponding contribution there, the thing that gave you the large S parameter or somewhat large S parameter, was the contribution to the S parameter from this sigma. So we will include that, of course. We will include when we do look at our precision electroweak fits, but that's always really small. This is really the dominant story right here. Okay, it actually helps you a little bit because, you know, the long direction of the ellipse is the one where you have both S and T. So it helps a bit, but this is pretty much the most important effect. Okay, so so what about tuning? Okay, that was the whole motivation of this. The only tuning in this thing, there's only one thing that is a potential tuning, which is that there is a little bit of a hierarchy between F and U, right? And so there's some splitting. It's of order 10, factor of 10, of mass differences between some of the sparticles here. And so that is that's where you potentially get some tuning, right? If you have some hierarchy between the Higgs masses and other masses. So there's several things that, so you have a danger actually of a tree level to a contribution to the sigma mass, because if you turn on VEVs for these phis, the D term actually gives you a mass like this. This is again familiar from non-decoupling D term models. You have to solve this, you have to go along a flat direction, along a D flat direction, and that does not require any tuning. You can have potentials that naturally give you that. Okay, but it is an additional ingredient that you need. So then once you've solved this tree level problem, you still have to worry about loops because you have heavy things at the scale contributing in loops. But now what helps you is that the only interaction that these sigma fields and these phi fields have in common are these gauge interactions, and that's a two-loop effect. Okay, so now you have a two-loop contribution like this. And now if you look at this allowed parameter space, I'm jumping the gun a little bit, notice that this plot looks exactly like the simplified model plot. I haven't shown you parameter scans, but they're actual parameter scans, and they really do look exactly like this, okay? But what you can see is that this GS right here should probably be less than about 3, otherwise you're starting to get nervous about using perturbation theory. And in all of that region, the tuning is less than 10%, okay? It's not just 10% in that point, it's 10% in the entire region, except very, very close to the decoupling limit, no surprise, right? Very close to the decoupling limit. Okay, so the tuning, like we claim, there's only the one effect to worry about, and it's yeah. That's the sensitivity. So it's the usual thing that people quote as fine-tuning. So 10% means that you change the input parameters by 1%, and the outputs change by 10%. There's a factor of 10 sense, you know, bad in the bad direction of sensitivity. So small fine-tuning is bad, right? Right. So, okay. Okay. So and you know, if you want regions of 30%, there's regions of 30%. Okay, so and what does the phenomenology look like? This is a parameter scan, and for reasons I don't have time to explain this, you can just write down a formula for this decoupling limit, and it's just essentially exact. It's a simple, so this red line is just an analytic thing, and you can just see that everything lines up there. And then these are just scans of a point. The exact details of the model are in our paper. It's just what I described with just pretty much general superpotential couplings. There's no skeletons in the closet. So something that's interesting here is that, okay, so the blue, let's see, the scheme here is, color scheme is kind of annoying. So the point you should be paying attention to is the fact that, okay, so all of the circled points, okay, so these are basically all the allowed points, okay. The thing you should be paying attention to is the red circles are points in the scan where the cubic Higgs coupling is less than half of the standard model coupling. Okay, so what you can see is that, as you expect, when you're close to the decoupling limit, that's not the case, because then you just have a standard model like Higgs. But for most of the region, actually, as soon as you cross some line around here, right, most of the models do have a cubic Higgs coupling which is substantially less than the standard model. So we're not talking about a few corrections. Thanks. Okay. All right, so that's, I think, an interesting feature of these models. So what is the model? It's SU2S cross SU5. We just have two extra 5 plus 5 bars, so it's totally okay with unification. But, okay, you have to worry about, so you don't have to worry about Landau poles for the electroweak couplings, but you do have to worry about Landau poles for this GS, okay? It turns out in this model, the one loop beta function vanishes, which actually helps you a lot. This is the very simplest model, and it also has the feature that the one loop beta function vanishes, so that helps you. But still, you need to worry about this. And you can see this here. Here are the Landau. Yes. Yeah. It's actually, yeah, actually what you need, if you really look at it, what you need is you need actually a superpotential type term that gives you, so if you have a term like an NMSSM type model that gives you those VEVs, and if the supersymmetric terms dominate, that's what naturally gives you a D flat direction. You would think that you would need, it's not actually true that you No, you don't need that. You don't need a high degree of degeneracy there. Okay, yeah. Yeah, if it's dominated by the supersymmetric part of the potential, you get it automatically. That's sort of the point. Okay? All right? So you can see, you have two possible choices of Landau poles. One is if you increase GS, okay, eventually you start hitting, you get a low Landau pole. But the other one is that if you increase F, you start getting a Landau pole because you need a larger Y top, right? And so you can just see if you have a requirement on where you want the Landau pole to be, it cuts out some region like this and you have to be down here. And of course the one your eye is immediately drawn to is here's 10 to the 16 firmly in ruled out territory, right? Okay? Oh, sorry. The white is the allowed region. That you should just think of the this is theoretically not allowed. Okay, all right. This white is the allowed, and this is excluded by Higgs coupling measurements at LHC. So this is phenomenologically forbidden. This is theoretically forbidden. Okay. Okay. So if you want to poke your head into the allowed region, the lowest scale you can have for a Landau pole is about 10 to the 9 GeV. Okay. You can't go up to the gut scale. Okay? But it's very easy to complete this model so that you can go up to the gut scale. Okay? Because why? There's a good reason for that. It's just because everything that was charged under this new gauge group already comes in complete SU5 multiplets. Okay? And we know lots of ways, so you don't have to do anything fancy. So here, the very, very simplest thing that you could possibly imagine works, which is to have a scale where this SU2S comes from breaking SU3S down to SU2S. There you go. That works, because this theory is asymptotically free, has no Landau pole. Okay? So as long as you do that below a scale of, so then you have not fixed the Top-Yukawa coupling, so you still have to live, here was the 10 to the 16 line, you still have to live with this thing right here, okay? So you actually require fairly large values of GS, but guess what? This theory has a strong IR state, strongly coupled IR fixed point. So this coupling gets asymptotically free and then runs to a constant, very large value. And so as long as you break that below a scale of something like a PEV, it will give you the right sort of values. Okay? This is just one example. You can do other things. All right? Okay. Yeah, I'm just about done. Then we also looked at the case where this comes from F terms. I'm not going to say much about that because the models are not quite as nice. This looks very much like the NMSSM. This lambda S can be a little bit bigger because remember these guys don't have Yukawa coupling, so the top contribution in the RGEs is not there. That helps you make this a little bit bigger if you want unification, but not much. You can see here the Landau pole plots, and the scans look essentially identical. It's, you know, because it really is dominated by this very simplified model that I told you with the two parameters. Okay, so that's all I have to say about that. And to conclude, the phenomenology, these auxiliary Higgses have to mix with the MSSM Higgses. This is not the decoupling limit, except for really, you know, except for the decoupling limit, which, right? And so these things cannot hide, all right? They are very well mixed with the other standard model Higgses. Direct searches for heavy Higgses and also Higgs coupling measurements should see these things. The one thing I think is unique to these models, as far as I know, is that the Higgs cubic is highly suppressed in most of the parameter space. That's really motivated directly by naturalness in this scenario. And of course, I haven't spoken at all about the rest of the SUSY spectrum. Where is it? There's still some room for natural SUSY, so that's an orthogonal question. I have nothing to say about that. Okay, I think that's it. Thank you.
So in your points where the triple X coupling is half the standard model or less, what's the, how shall I put this, the largest value, how close to one can you still get the coupling to two vector bosons?
So I don't have that up here, but we have some plots in our paper where on this thing we have contours of the Higgs couplings.
Okay. Do you remember?
No, I don't remember. Okay. Those plots are in our paper.
Okay.
So I mean, we can look at it there. I don't remember offhand.
You showed very briefly the region, the pink color coded, was from stability bound, vacuum stability bound.
Yeah.
Could you say a few words about what controls the vacuum stability?
So it turns out that when you hold these parameters fixed, what happens as you approach this line right here from above is that you're getting the decoupling limit with one mass eigenvalue squared going to plus infinity. If you go this way, one mass eigenvalue squared is going to negative infinity. It's an artifact of the fact that I've held fixed the physical Higgs mass and the VEV. Okay, and you can sort of see that there should be a lower bound on lambda, right? You'd be pretty shocked if I told you there wasn't a lower bound. If I told you could have as small a lambda as you want, and I can get both the Higgs mass and the VEV to come out right, you'd say I'm crazy, right? So this is the way it happens. That's the best I can do to make it. Okay.
I'd just like to clarify on the S and T. I think the three groups who do these analyses are in agreement I think what I objected to is what you called 68% confidence, really 95, and the outer one is 99%.
Okay, I think you might be right. This might be 95 and 99. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't. I should have looked that up before I.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah, and I think we say all this in our paper. I should have been looked that up before I showed this plot. The one that is right, the one that's realized in nature. Probably neither, therefore, but we can hope.
So what are the expectations then that you have for the LHC-14 TV?
These are things that we're actively starting to look at, just starting to look at. So for the perturbative model, the basic point is that these extra Higgs, you have an extra set of, you have extra Higgs doublets, and they cannot be in the decoupling limit, which means they have to have reasonable couplings, gauge boson, gauge boson, Higgs type of coupling. So you can singly produce them. They generally will decay either to gauge bosons or lighter Higgses. So these are the kinds of searches that people are doing in the context of two Higgs doublet models. And you cannot just arbitrarily hide these things. That's all I'm trying to say. There's not, unless you really go close to the decoupling limit, you should see something.
So have you looked, for example, the Higgs WW that they look in the framework?
Oh, so the current searches, yeah. So the current, we've looked at the current searches at least, and the reason I didn't show any detailed plots is they're actually much less constraining than the Higgs coupling measurements in these models. Okay, so in these models, the Higgs coupling measurements, if you were to put the direct Higgs searches like capital H to WW or ZZ, you would find those would be well into the gray region. There. Okay, we didn't make detailed plots, but we just checked, it's very far away from being the dominant constraint.
So if I understand correctly, naively at least from what you described, your effective Tobyukawa should be larger than in a standard model.
Yes.
But the coupling to the weak bosons will be lower than in a standard model because will be proportional to the Higgs.
I think the top could actually go either way because there's also the mixing factor, right? There's not just, there's the sort of tan beta type factor, which is how much, but then there's also the mixing factor. And remember, we're not in the decoupling limit.
No, but I was thinking that, so far as I understand, your top couples only to the Higgs that acquires a back expectation value that is 195 instead of 246.
For example, yes.
Right.
So that white top,
any mixing, any mixing will worsen the situation so far as the top you can has to increase, right?
Now I thought that there's also the question of how much the light mass eigenstate is actually the VeV eigenstate, right?
Right.
But I mean those constraints. I believe that that may be the tightest constraint. Other words, that gray region, I believe, is maybe dominated by that.
I was thinking naively, the ratio of the weak boson fusion to gluon fusion should provide a very strong bound in your case.
Yeah, I have to admit that the Higgs coupling fit was just outsourced to Jameson Galloway, so I think it's a serious fit. But I don't remember. I don't remember which is the dominant constraint.
Okay, let's thank Marcus again.